listening to the Video Game Show on URN.
Welcome back to the second episode. Welcome, even, to the second episode of the Video Game Show. I'm very excited to be here. The panel is Mark.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Excellent.
It's good to see you. Dylan.
All right, nice to see you again.
And Jack.
Hello. Thank you for having me back again.
We are all back again. And this week we have got lots of news for you. We're going to be playing some games. We're going to do Hall of Game as per. And we're going to be chatting a lot. Hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it should be good, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got a good show plan. So we're going to start off with some news. Recently, or even yesterday, the new COD came out, and Jack has bought it.
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm being stupid, or I guess I'm just a massive fan of the Call of Duty series. I mean, I'm no good at playing it online. I'm still yet to play online for the Infinite Warfare yet, but yeah, I mean, I've played the campaign. I know we'll talk about it a bit later on as well, and I'm thoroughly impressed. I'm surprised by just how well it's going in the campaign so far. But yeah, and I mean, I hopped on to play a couple of Zombies games as well. The Zombies looks really cool. I won't give away too many spoilers, because, as you know, it is only a day old. I don't want to, you know, absolutely just spoil it for everyone who is planning to go out and buy it. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Obviously, the one that I bought was the Legacy Edition, which comes with the Call of Duty 4 remastered version as well, which I'm really looking forward to playing. I played the first mission earlier, and it's looking very, very gorgeous.
Fantastic. We'll get into that later in the show, but I will quickly touch on BlizzCon happened, and BlizzCon is Blizzard. They have their annual conference, and Blizzard are the people who make Overwatch, World of Warcraft,
StarCraft.
So there's a big pedigree there. You know, they've...
Diablo,
yeah. Made some great games. So, it's been 25 years. It's a 25-year anniversary for Blizzard, so that's a big one.
They've come a long way since Rock'em'All Racing for the Sega Genesis, I'll tell you that.
It's been quite a journey for them. But in their trailer, they included moments like Leroy Jenkins. I assume you guys have seen this thing. Someone will give us a quick breakdown, because it is hilarious. Like,
okay, Leroy Jenkins is it's a meme. It's one of the... I'm going to call it one of the first memes, in fact.
I think that's fair.
So from the early days of World of Warcraft, like 2004, it was... I believe it was fake. I don't think it was real, but the setup was people prepping for a raid.
Oh, it wasn't real?
I don't think it's real.
No.
I'm not certain, but I believe the whole video itself was planned.
Oh,
but
sure.
It's a setup for a raid, and it's all these guys like, yeah, okay, so we're planning, and you've got to draw aggro, and you're the tank, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. And then one guy screams at the top of his voice, Leroy Jenkins. It would have been good to lie. I'm not going to do it. And he charges headlong into this raid dungeon and just ruins everyone's planning. And it's, I mean, you should look it up. It's a pretty great video. Like, if people haven't seen it, I'm not going to do a Leroy Jenkins impression.
And World of Warcraft, obviously, to the uninitiated, and I can't really imagine there are many, is a massive online multiplayer game. And you play as a character, and you go around, and you can be like a warlock, or a mage, or a shaman, all these kind of characters, and you all play together. And Leroy did his best to get in the way of...
I think he did a good job.
But we are going to touch on some news from BlizzCon, which was Overwatch. And now, we're Overwatch fans, aren't we?
From what I've played, I really like it.
I
haven't got into it. I don't own it, but I've fiddled around with it, and that game is really, really
well made.
Yeah,
it's well very made. Good. Got it.
They did a free weekend a while ago, and I played it then. And I didn't have the money to keep getting it. I was saving it for Titanfall.
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved it, and my housemate plays it.
Do you want to give us a rundown of what Overwatch is?
Yeah, sure. So it's... a first person, I guess it's kind of like a MOBA, but not really. So it's a first person shooter.
It's a little bit more like TF2 than Dota, like if you're going to.
Yeah,
it's,
I think
it's
that's
more
fair.
TF2, yeah.
It's a class based first person shooter, multiplayer, online, competitive.
In the same vein as with Call of Duty and stuff, you can pick if you're going to have like a light machine gun or an assault rifle, whatever. Kind of like that, but much more class based. There's big differences between each one. Mm-hmm. So you've got tanks, etc. You've got your support characters, which do. Most of them do healing, but then there's one who I think nobody ever plays, which just, like, teleports you and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is it. She has a special teleport that gets you from the spawn area to the fighting zone. Yeah.
But it's, I think, there's a few different game modes. So there's one which is you've got to get your object from the start to the end, and it only moves when your team are the only ones around it.
Oh, yeah, the payload, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, again, very much like Team Fortress 2. Mm-hmm. You've got to get one thing from the start to the end. There's also, a King of the Hill type game where you've got to capture bases, essentially, and whoever catches it first and completes you've got to be in it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Whoever completes that first wins that round. And it's really quite fast paced. There's not really any sitting around waiting. Even as the sniper, you're often moving quite a bit, or at least I found. Maybe I'm just not a very good sniper.
The news that came from BlizzCon is that a new character has been announced. And this character has been teased and teased and teased for months and months and months. And people have been kind of working out what she is. But it turns out her name is Sombra. She's essentially a hacker.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I think the story is after hacking the Mexican government, she became the world's greatest hacker.
There we go.
Or something equally preposterous.
Something like that, yeah. yeah, and she basically hacks characters, so like their abilities are frozen for a bit, and then I think she just gets in there and pops them with her gun.
Yeah, like she's got an SMG, and she can teleport, yep. like over short distances, she can become invisible for short times. Mm-hmm. So she's all about getting around, shutting down people's abilities like quite like for short lengths of time, working with the team.
Jack literally got COD Infinite Warfare yesterday for the video game show, he said. So, you know, we're that committed. So, Jack, do you want to give us a breakdown of how you found it?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine a lot of other people as well, were quite sceptical going into, Infinite Warfare. You know, obviously, Infinity Ward coming back, this is their first really futuristic game that they've done. We've obviously had Black Ops 3 and Advanced Warfare going into that sort of using the jump pack sort of route. And I, along with many other people, were sceptical. Like I said earlier, I'm not really that great at playing the multiplayer. But I sat down and played the campaign when I downloaded it yesterday evening. And I'd like to say I was pleasantly surprised by just how well they'd done it. There was a seamless transition between, a cutscene where you're in an office and then it will take you out of it and your ship suddenly gets attacked and it will throw you straight into the action. It's really hard to tell what is actually gameplay and what is actually a cutscene, and they've done it really, really well. Kit Harington plays the main antagonist.
Yeah, John Snow's
in
it.
Yeah, he's in it as the main bad guy. And one of the early missions, I don't want to spoil it too much, is you play as an Australian guy called Wolf, and you're essentially base jumping to one of Jupiter's moons. I believe it's called Europa, and you jump, you land on it. It's really cold and whatever. Awesome. You go and kill some dudes on the moon, and then you resurface. And there's some guys tracking you down, and we were teased about Conor McGregor being in the game, and that's one of the first things happens is you get tracked down and you get beaten up by Conor McGregor. So he's in his natural habitat as an MMA fighter, and he comes and hunts you down and beats you up.
Natural habitat on Europa, one of Jupiter's moons.
We'll move on to something completely different now. Mark has been playing Hitman.
Yes.
Can you give us a kind of a rundown of...
Okay, so Hitman. So Hitman is a long-running franchise. I think the first game came out in 1999 or something like that. They're primarily PC games, and they're third-person stealth action games where you play as the titular hitman, Agent 47, and you get given a target, and they're always these comically evil people. And you get put inside a large, like a sandbox level, like a hotel, or say like a man under witness protection, so it's like a whole neighborhood, and you have to sneak around, and like you can take disguises from people, and you have to try and assassinate this dude and get out, or dudette in some cases. And so the latest release of Hitman, which is just called Hitman, has been episodic. So it was announced at some point last year, and they were saying, yeah, so instead of the standard formula, which up until this point has been you get a game and it's got, say, 10 levels in it with 10 hits and you have to do them, it's once a month they put out a whole new massive level with a new target in it, but then also a bunch of other things to do. And so the reason I've been playing it is because the final level of this new Hitman game came out on Sunday. It's set in Hokkaido in Japan.
Oh, cool.
And it's like it's a really like high-tech health facility. And so there are people in there getting heart transplants and all sorts of stuff. And there's lots of ways to engineer outrageous accidental assassinations. Like, you can set up, like, there's an AI performing a heart transplant with, like, loads of crazy robot arms.
Oh, my God.
And so you can reprogram that to just, like, saw the dude in half and all those sorts. It's... The Hitman games are famous for their sense of humour. They always have. Mm. But I think the most interesting part about this episodic release, which I was incredibly dubious about, because I was a huge fan of the previous ones, is that it's worked so well.
Oh,
and it's worked so well that they've gone from saying on Steam, where you could click a button to buy Hitman The Complete Experience, to Hitman Season 1. And so I think they've put out now officially that they're going to keep doing this episodic release structure. So there's going to be a Season 2 either next year or in a couple of years' time, which is going to be another monthly release structure. And it's a wicked game. They do elusive targets, which is like once every 2 weeks. They put a brand new NPC into one of the levels. They tell you what he looks like, but they don't tell you where he is. And you get 24 hours in, or I think it's 48 hours in real life to find him, and you only get one chance. So if you die or mess up, then you can't get that guy anymore. And yeah, it's a really, really awesome game. Anybody who likes stealth action, anybody who likes assassinating people by dropping toilets on their head. Like, in the very first level, it's set in a huge fashion conference in Paris. Mm. And it just so happens the star of this fashion show is a model named Helmut Kruger, who happens to look very, very similar to Agent 47. He happens to also be a tall white man with a shaved head. And so you can knock him out, and you can steal his clothes, and you can get some makeup put on, and you can walk the runway, and then you can go and assassinate your targets.
Amazing.
It's really tongue-in-cheek. It's incredibly well-made. It's really well-executed. The episodic structure's worked so well. I don't have anything bad to say about it.
New feature, Console Wars. The panellists are given a minute and 30 seconds. They have to argue one console, and then I'll say Switch, and they have to change the console that I decide. Dylan's going to go first.
All right.
He's going to do 30 seconds of PS4. And then 30 seconds of Xbox. We could do a bit longer if you feel, but...
So this is... He's going to have to explain why the PS4 is the best, and then Switch and explain why the Xbox is the best.
We could do a minute each, but what do you reckon?
30 seconds, I think, is...
Okay, 30
me.
Seconds. Hey, he's quivering. Quivering, people.
I'm an Xbox man.
So, Dylan's going to start off with the PS4 30 seconds, and I'm going to say Switch. He's going to change Xbox. Right. Are you ready for this? 3, 2, 1, start.
So, let's face it, I know I'm an Xbox guy, but the PS4 is a better console in terms of power. It's got better graphics than the... It's the same, but the processing power is slightly better than the Xbox. Generally, in terms of hardware, it is better, and it got cheaper quicker, I think, as well, didn't it?
And the games are better, aren't they?
I think that's a question.
They are much better, yeah.
Mr. PS4 over there in the corner.
It's got some... To be fair, they did...
Switch!
Okay. The Xbox is less focused on, at least when they started, it was less focused on games. It was meant to be an all-in-one kind of thing, and you're going to use it for every... So, now less so, but when it first came out, it was great for everything you wanted to do in your house. If you wanted to, just entertainment-wise, you could watch TV on it, play your games on it, and just generally entertainment in general, it was very good for. That the PS4 couldn't quite achieve, I don't think.
Mark's going to do iOS, Android.
Yeah.
And then he's going to switch to Nintendo. I think, you know, go Nintendo first, and then we'll do iOS, Android.
Okay.
So he's going to talk about Nintendo, Wii in general, because I think that's fair. Right, you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so the reason Nintendo are the best is because Nintendo, they weren't the first, but they're the people who nailed it. The reason that we have RPGs and adventure games is because The Legend of Zelda invented them. It's because Metroid invented them. Like, Nintendo and Shigeru Miyamoto and that team in the 80s and 90s basically wrote the book on video games as we see them now, and even now
Switch.
When they're okay, so iOS and Android is as they're getting more powerful, they're getting better. It's gaming on the go, and they're getting really unique experiences because it's a different way of controlling things. You've got touch screens, you have gyroscopes, and you can start to craft ways of doing things that are really, really different and unusual. You have little games that might only cost 99p to get, and they can give you a whole wild experience that you would never expect because someone's had to put the effort in to make it work on less powerful things.
Now we're going to do another feature that we did first time around, which went really well. It's called Haul a Game, and we're going to chat about our favourite video game thing every week, and then that's going to go into our coveted Haul of Game. So we're going to start with Jack. Who's your favourite villain?
Well, my favourite villain is a bit of a throwback. It is, of course, the Lord of Darkness himself, Ganondorf.
What a title. What a title.
He, for those of you that don't know, he is the main antagonist in the Zelda series. And, yeah, he essentially makes Zelda's life a living hell. And, yeah, I mean, like I say, he is just one of those that has... He's been around for a good couple of years now. And, I mean, every year they do revamp him. And yeah, he's a very, very sort of scary dude. I mean, when I first started playing Zelda, he would scare me quite a lot. You know, you see this sort of very big looking dark sort of figure mm-hmm. looking at you in one of the early Zelda games, and you think, well, I've got to go up against this guy at some point in the near future in the game. And he typifies scary for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when I was a young kid, like I said, just going up against him was possibly one of the scariest moments in video games when I was young.
So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking of picking a Halo character, but I thought that's a cop-out because I picked a Halo character last time, and I'm likely to pick a Halo character again, or a Halo thing again, because it's my favourite It's my favourite series. But I thought, no, let's not. That's too obvious. So I went with the Joker from the Arkham series. Batman's biggest nemesis. Batman's got a lot of enemies. He's not a very liked guy in his city. I'd say Joker is the biggest. And it's kind of because he's the opposite. It's weird. He's the opposite and the same. But it really comes across in Arkham. They really nail the character.
Mark, who have you got for us?
I have chosen the boss from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Now, just before you get into that, I'm not a huge Metal Gear fan, but every time I look at it, there's always a big boss, a small boss.
Okay, so in 1964, you play as Naked Snake, a ridiculous name I know, but your mentor is a female soldier named the Boss, who she is like the greatest soldier ever lived. She led the invasions at Normandy, even though she was pregnant, and they build her up to be this incredibly powerful figure who knows everything. She was like the best soldier ever lived, and she's your mentor. And you are sent on a mission as Naked Snake into Russia to go and rescue a scientist. And when you rescue this scientist, the Boss turns up, and she turns up and she kidnaps the scientist from you, and she defects to the Russians. And this is all very early in the game. Mm-hmm. And she becomes the bad guy for this. Or she's not the ultimate bad guy, but your mission for Metal Gear Solid 3 is to go into Russia and to assassinate the Boss, who is your mentor, who spends the game stopping you at every turn. She psychologically manipulates you because she's known you. She like taught you everything you know. She beats you down into nothing. And she is made to be this incredibly powerful character. And it's heartbreaking that she defects. And you have to try and deal with the fact that your enemy in this game is someone who is basically a mother to you.
So my favourite villain comes from the game Portal 2.
Okay.
But despite that, so I'll just quickly say Portal 2 is a game where you are a woman who's in a facility that is for testing of physics, basically just breaking new scientific boundaries. Anyway, you end up going into sort of stasis for however, a long time, you know, 6,000 years or something, and you wake up and you try to escape the facility to which you are eternally bound. Makes sense? And this facility is run by robots. One of them is called GLaDOS. There's this big AI. Basically, she's the one who keeps you contained in this facility and submits you to these tests. And the idea of the game is you're trying to escape, and GLaDOS is the antagonist. So the idea of you, at the beginning of the game, Wheatley helps you get out. He assists you. And essentially, you wake up GLaDOS. And obviously, she puts you back to testing, tries to get rid of you. And then, essentially, Wheatley tries to take over, becomes the bad guy, becomes the facility controller, and GLaDOS is stuck with you in a potato. And together,
literally a potato.
And together, you have to take back the facility. Now, I'm going to get into why I like her. She's this AI, so seemingly a robot, but she is very, very funny and very. And so, the things she said very evil. They're always sort of directed about how she has no life and how you're going to be eternally damned to this testing, and yet it's all done through an extremely monotone voice. You're going to be told you're going to be killed through some computer voice, and it's
everything sounds very sardonic, doesn't it? Like, it all sounds like maybe she doesn't mean
it's really sadistic. Like, you have no life, and it's just like this robot voice, and yet you know she controls you.
Quite a calming voice, really.
Seemingly it is calming, isn't it?
And then really not,
and until she says, and then there were no survivors.
Exactly, and it's just, it's terrifying. I advise you to YouTube her.
I mean, play Portal 1. Like, if you want a good dose of GLaDOS, Portal 1 is really cheap on, like, Steam. You can find it. I think it's even cheap on PlayStations and Xboxes and stuff. It's like 4 hours long or something, and she is the star of that game through and through.